The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Paul Chrisman, Vice President of Private Sector at Dell Software. And we're going to have a little focus today on mobile devices, mobile device management, these crazy things called tablets, and maybe even touch on Internet of Things and all kinds of new headaches that we never dreamed of 5 or 6 years ago when I started this show. This is show number 401. Paul, how are you today?
Doing very well on this beautiful spring day.
Yeah, great, great, great day. Before the show, we were talking about Dell and Michael Dell and South by Southwest. I guess, did you go down there this year?
I didn't. We have a huge contingent of Dell people in Austin.
Obviously,
as a corporate headquarters, is just up the road in Round Rock. But, yeah. You know, the roots for the company run strong into Austin with the University of Texas and where Michael founded the company. But it is a gathering, an eclectic gathering, as Austin often is. But the idea of bringing technology together from all over the world, infusing it with a little bit of weird Austin music scene, restaurant scene, it goes 7x24 all week.
It's right up his what they call strike zone there, huh? Hey,
yeah.
That's exactly. So tell us about your background, how you wound up at Dell first, please, Paul.
So I'm in the software division at Dell, and Dell is actually going through a transformation and moving to become a complete IT, integrated IT delivery company. So you normally would think of Dell as hardware. We're in the studio here. There's Dell hardware all over the place, I'm happy to see. But the idea right now is that Dell software is becoming more and more important. And about 2.5 years ago, the company I was with called Quest Software was acquired by Dell. And the software division now is a major contributor to the company's strategic future. Complementing the hardware side, both the end-user devices, tablets and laptops and desktops, working also with the server and networking side in the enterprise, and the services side, the software component really was what was needed. So the acquisition strategy that Dell had really put together some world-class independent software companies under one umbrella. And I've been in the software business. I was in the software business back when the PC was invented. So I've been in the software business all my entire professional career, going back to the 80s.
Well, you remember back in the 80s, it was pretty easy to set up a box. You'd have a box, literally a box for software, then maybe a box for a desktop PC. And so never the twain shall meet. They kind of work together. But increasingly now, things are getting so confusing with smartphones, and all of a sudden people have Fitbits and the Internet of Things. And I was reading today, now there's not only smart watches, but there's smart shoes.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of devices to manage. And where does this fit in for my listeners? My listeners are federal IT professionals, as
sure.
We know. And the problems they have are similar to many problems in the commercial world. But one of the problems they have is some bozo like John Gilroy waltzes into their office and goes, "Well, looky here, I've got this new phone. It's a Windows phone. What should I do with it?" And then the people in charge, you know, go, "What should I do?" Now, if I happen to be high level in the agency, all of a sudden we have to be flexible. If
right.
I'm just a GS, six, then they can just walk all over me. So this is the problem that my listeners have is, you know, they're bombarded with people like John Gilroy walking in with dumb questions. How do you manage all these things, and what are best practices? And we had John here last year. I think we bring back in and say, "Well, geez, you know, what about Dell? Can they have an answer? Can maybe throw someone a bone or have
sure.
some ideas?"
Well, I think the original idea of saying, "I have a device, I want to connect it to your network, and I don't want to be told what to do." I don't think that's a valuable approach to the business right now. I think one of the things we always start with is policy. We start with the idea of acceptable use. We talk about what I use the phrase social contract. We have a social contract when we access information using a device. We have a social contract when we access paper records, but the same idea holds true in technology space. The idea of a social contract that says I can't just bring any random device and connect it up to the network and expect it to be given the keys to the kingdom, that's sort of the first discussion to have. Acceptable use policies, and then also getting down to acceptable technology standards. the federal government has a whole series of acceptable use and acceptable device guidelines. But if the user doesn't abide by it and doesn't start with the idea of, okay, yeah, I'm bought in, you're really going to be at a tug of war all the time.
I was in a testing lab yesterday, and five engineers were doing some tests, and there was literally a fire. And a senior engineer walked in and said, well, there's a test policy for this. Did you follow all the 20 steps? And they said, one of those flat forehead things. We missed step six.
Right.
And he said, well, why did I write the policies unless you're going to follow them?
So the idea of protocols and the idea of tests and the idea of the protocol being actually followed, those things really lead us to the next sort of idea in mobile device management, which is automation. Human beings usually write protocols. Protocols get put in a three-ring binder. Three-ring binder gets put on a shelf and nobody ever looks at it, and especially when the alarm's going off.
It happened just yesterday in the lab.
And that's not the right time to dust off the book. So one of the things we talk about is if there are policies and protocols, they should be automated, and there should be something that alleviates this need to follow the recipe cookbook down to the character. That leads to a lot of human errors. It leads to an awful lot of missed steps. And it also means that there's too much burden on the human beings.
And there are some humans that are fastidious and methodical and can go through a checklist. I know some pilots like that, by the way. You can go through a checklist very thoroughly, and that's the way you want my pilot to be thorough. But human beings, I think, are better at analytical. They can look at information and analyze it and make important decisions. And why not automate what you can?
Absolutely. And the idea of good, proper practice and training for people like pilots who have to use those protocols in emergency situations can't be downplayed. But the book was written by somebody, and the book is evaluated by somebody, and the protocols and the policies and the procedures in the case of mobile device management should be reviewed, and they should be practiced. One of the things we talk about a lot as it relates to security and mobile device management is the need for end-user training. Most of the security breaches that happen these days, regardless of whether it's from a mobile device or a laptop or a server, it's usually because of human error, or somebody clicked on something they shouldn't have clicked on, or they connected to a network they shouldn't have connected to. The idea of user training and having someone understand, if I see X, I should do Y, those sorts of if-then statements should be pretty straightforward, but they should be grounded in proper IT hygiene and then train your end users. Because that's really where the interface is on a lot of these new devices.
Speaking of books, if you go to software.dell.com, there's an ebook written by a guy with an interesting name. His name is Jack Madden, M-A-D-D-E-N, no sports reference here. And it's called Enterprise Mobility Management. So, you know, if you're listening to this interview as a podcast or you're listening to it when the Redskins are reporting in Richmond, Virginia, you may want to download this little ebook and read about it and just say, well, hey, you know, I may be a govy, I may be stuck in, treasury, and I'm responsible for managing some devices. Let's take a look and see how other people are managing and what the best practices are and see how they can apply to my individual agency, because there's so many variables all over the government, aren't there?
Yeah, and each agency has different mission, and the mission's going to drive the technology. I was at a conference this week, and the panelists were one from the Army, one from USDA, one from the University of Maryland, and then another individual from NIST. And the diversity of mission struck us, and the different kinds of challenges that, for instance, within the DoD and the PIV cards or the CAC cards in the civilian space, either way, the idea of having those technologies that address the mission and then driving towards mobile device management. And imagine you're trying to do mobile device management in Afghanistan versus a USDA inspector that's in the field. The ideas are entirely different, but a lot of the technology is the same.
And I think that's why you have to open your mind up to as many different systems and possibilities of managing this. And I think if you looked at it as a challenge in managing mobile devices, and there we go into the MDM, does it stand for mobile device management, mobile data management, or the new one is master data management for copy data services? I mean, MDM means, even MDM
sure.
means so many things, huh?
So you can get lost in the acronym soup. You can get lost into what version of Android are you running. You can get lost in what flavor of handset do you like and what manufacturer. It really does boil down to basic IT management, whether it's a cell phone, whether it's an employee-owned cell phone in certain situations. Most of the time in the federal government space, the devices, the handsets are actually government-issued. So there's a high degree of accessibility and also expectation of management on those government-owned devices. In commercial entities, you might have a blend of some company-owned devices, some personally-owned devices. Those sorts of things lead us to different solutions.
Let's take a little break here, Paul. We come back. We'll talk about Connect.gov and some of the challenges involved in the world, the federal world, of just managing identity. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Paul Chrisman, Vice President of Public Sector at Dell Software. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Paul Chrisman, Vice President of Public Sector at Dell Software. We are talking about mobile devices and trying to come up with some solutions and options for my listeners who are charged with trying to figure out what to do with all these devices people are waltzing around with. I mean, I'm waltzing around here with this three devices myself.
There's a pile of technology over there.
I mean, there's a pile of technology, the whole room here. And this is a radio studio. Who cares who waltzes in here? But if you're in a federal agency, you may have different levels of responsibility for security, have to address this. And Dell has all kinds of different solutions and options for you to consider. And if you'd like to get more information, I think the best place is software.dell.com and troll through there, try to get some white papers or maybe listen to some podcasts that they have on that. Before we took the break, I tossed out a popular acronym called MDM, and it means many things to many people. We talked about mobile device management. No, it stands for mobile data management. Now, some people say, no, it stands for master data management. So lead us to the promised land here, Paul. What does MDM mean for my listeners?
Sure. We'll start with the MDM for mobile device management. We can talk about the other ones as well. But right now, for mobile device management, there are techniques, and we were talking about this before the break, there are techniques that can be used that we've tested and perfected in other areas. When we started doing laptops, and these PCs could all of a sudden sprout legs and walk around, we started to take into account where the device was. Location-specific information became really relevant. Take that same idea and apply it to handsets, smartphones, tablets. The same concept applies. It's just the question of how easily they can be moved around. So we have some basic frameworks. We look at simple things like encryption. Encryption on laptops, encryption on desktops, encryption on servers and databases is a great first line of defense for security. Well, the idea also applies to handsets, smartphones. So if you saw with the latest version of iOS, Apple turned on encryption as a default in the OS. In Android and Windows, you also have encryption. But that's the baseline that we would look at for security. And your mobile device management system can check for encryption on the end device. So the question is then, once you have something as basic as encryption to prevent unauthorized access if the device is lost or compromised, then what does your security system and mobile device management do with that information once it's known? And we have sort of a layered approach to managing these devices, but it all depends on the mission of the organization and how secure and whether information is actually stored on the device. And this is some of the ideas in this sort of social contract we talked about earlier. I, as a user of a device, need to agree that if I store data on this device, I'm responsible for providing the proper security for it. And I'm responsible. I'm part of the solution. I'm part of the problem. But I'm also participating in this social contract. So I don't compromise the information. It's that idea that brings us to this this idea of managing devices and having users to participate in the solution. The idea really gets to technology can only do so much, and if the users are presented with something it's usable and it's not too intrusive, but it also helps them to get their job done, their mission accomplished, then they'll readily adopt it. If not, it's going to be something that they're going to actively work around.
So mobile device management may include locations, mobile data management may include encryption and location of that information, and master data management's a completely different topic, huh?
Yeah, I'd leave master data management for another show. We can talk about that for a good hour, too.
Oh, my goodness, we sure have many times in the past. So I guess if you look at it from 40,000 feet, you're trying to secure the data and maybe the person and the device. That could be a different way to slice it and dice it, huh?
There's other sort of technology alternatives. Encryption assumes usually that the device is just one huge big blob of stuff. The other idea that's very popular in the federal space is this idea of creating a partition. And the partition allows for secure information or government information to be on one side of the partition, and then the user's personal information would be on the other side of the partition. More popular these days where you have a personally owned device, maybe in a commercial organization, where you have to strike the balance between the user's ownership of the device and their use of the device for personal reasons. So the idea of a partition really is helpful. Again, you can apply different security policies to one side of the partition or another, and your mobile device management tool could then manage that that secure partition, wipe it out if the device is reported lost or stolen. The idea then becomes, okay, the data is not compromised because the partitioning is also controlled by a central mobile device management service. The other idea, which is getting a lot of popularity lately, is this idea of you don't have any data resident on the device, and a virtual desktop is delivered down to the device, whether it's a tablet or a smartphone. And it's different from partitioning, but the idea of having a virtual device that's delivered on demand to the user, and then when the session ends, all of the data is not there at the endpoint anymore. So it's a different approach to the same problem of maintaining the integrity of the data. So these ideas of encryption, partitioning, and virtual device desktop delivery all sort of weave into what is in your potential toolkit.
When I was doing some show prep this morning, I looked at platform activation in the last 12 months. And the numbers I come up with is 73% iOS, 25% Android, and a lowly 1% for Windows Phone.
Right.
So from that distribution, does that impact the way Dell would design systems to manage these devices? Or is Dell trying to be platform agnostic, to use a word from 10 years ago? I would think that if 73% of users, and that's probably reflected in the guests on this show, it's got to impact the way you design this stuff, doesn't it?
You've got to design it to be flexible. You've got to design it to be agnostic. And the word still does apply now. The good news is that the fragmentation of the market creates an intense competition to improve and innovate. We at Dell will address and manage iOS devices, iPhones, iPads. We'll also manage Windows devices. We'll also manage Android devices. So for us as the mobile device management tool, we're going to look at this and say, whatever's at the end of either the wire or at the end of a connection, a wireless connection, we're going to manage it. And it's going to be independent of the handset manufacturer. Again, we look at this as saying this is a technology problem that software has to solve. The hardware, what platform you run, what OS you run, that's your choice. But for us as a systems management vendor, we're going to look at this and say we have to cover the waterfront.
There's another acronym I was going to toss in here just to make it a richer soup is IAM, which Identity Access Management. Now, there are some solutions from the government like Connect.gov that address this, and many of my listeners may not know. Why don't you talk us a little bit about Connect.gov?
Sure. The idea of identity and access management is one of those foundational security techniques. If you don't know who the user is, it's very hard to control their access to information and applications. So we always start with the idea of you have to know who is on your network. Identity and access management usually, in the past, led to a proliferation of IDs and passwords. Your average everyday user has probably a dozen username and passwords to access various systems. John, you're shaking your head. You probably have more than a dozen.
Oh, I have more than 140.
It's crazy. And the idea and the usability and the security of a simple username and password isn't sufficient. So we have to blend username and password, identity and access management with the flexibility and the productivity of mobile devices. the government, again, we talked before about PIV cards and CAC cards as two-factor authentication, which gives you greater security than simple username and password. The challenge then becomes, how do you integrate a PIV or a CAC with a mobile device like an iPhone? Well, that's an really awkward marriage. Right now, there isn't a good solution to bring that two-factor strong authentication and integrate it in with mobility. So I believe that there's going to be more software solutions that address the identity and access management in the mobile device world, just because we don't want more hardware. We want easy software-based solutions that are delivered on an app to our phone, whether it's an Android or an iOS or a Windows mobile device.
Let's take a little break here. When we come back, we talk more about a question I'm going to ask you in a few minutes is apps and what's the most popular app on your phone. And I never asked that question 6 or 7 years ago. All of a sudden, I think my listeners have to ask that question as far as security goes on mobile devices. Well, I've got this app here. Whoa, wait a minute. We have a policy. Oh, there's got to be a new policy involved in managing apps themselves. And what about secure IAM and other characteristics that you never think that would actually be important with a mobile device? Well, talk about that after the break here. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Paul Chrisman, Vice President of Public Sector at Dell Software. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Paul Chrisman, Vice President of Public Sector at Dell Software. We're talking about Dell software mostly as it applies to mobility and mobile solutions. And this is the dilemma. And in rural Virginia, they'd say this is the dilemma. And the dilemma you have here is that you want to take advantage of government employees using mobile devices. On the other hand, you want to protect information. And this is the razor's edge here of, on the one hand, you want to do this, but you want to protect this. And so how can you leverage mobile devices to make sure your people? And by the way, if you're thinking about hiring anyone today, you better have a pretty robust policy for mobile devices, because anyone under 25, under 30 today, they're going to expect it. And so we're talking about different options that you have for learning about this and understanding what Dell has to offer. I've talked about an ebook that Dell has on enterprise mobility. It's written by Jack Madden. It's a pretty good one. And if you want to follow on Twitter, you can follow at Dell Software. And my Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray, of all things. And at Dell Software is another one to follow. There's 10,000 listeners and 10,000 ways to get information. That's just one of them. Before the break, Paul, we talked about this idea of Connect.gov and where it all fits in. Tell us more about the Post Service and Connect.gov, please.
Sure. Connect.gov is it's a great idea that's being promoted, as you mentioned, through the Postal Service as the primary driver. But it is what we call a credential broker. So that's a fancy word for saying they're going to pass your credentials from one place to another. And what that means to your average everyday user is that they can reuse identities for multiple applications. It is the first step in reducing the number of IDs and passwords that are out there. And it also is an increase in the usability of systems from the end user's perspective. You can use your credentials in multiple places. Now, on the backside, for the application developers and the people who run the systems, it's a reduction in expense, because you can stop rewriting the exact same code for every single application and accept the credentials from something like Connect.gov. So it's a reduction in redundancy, and it's a streamlining of the application development process. So it's a win-win on both sides, from the usability side, but also on the backside for the application developers.
What is current in the world of cybersecurity is a concept called continuous monitoring, and we've beat this to death many times on the air here. And let's take and wait a minute. Let's apply continuous monitoring to mobile devices.
Absolutely.
Well, at the beginning of the show, that loser John Gilroy Walsh is in the office, and he's got a Microsoft Surface.
He is a highly suspect user, and he's a security threat walking in the door.
And all of a sudden, well, geez, you know, what about managing it, and what about, you know, real time reporting alerts?
Sure.
And I think that that might be important, because it's one thing to know that. You know, we had a fire in my neighborhood 2 days ago, and it was right next door to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the police came out within, I think, 40 seconds, and everything was quick. But you don't want to, you know, turn in a fire alarm and have someone show up a week later.
Right.
And the same thing with threats.
Right.
So what kind of real-time reporting can Dell provide for my listeners?
So the idea of real-time is a big transition. And the idea of CDM, or continuous diagnostics and monitoring, really is a transformation away from security being something that you bought. You'd say, okay, I bought a whole bunch of components. They're certified with various government seals and says, okay, this device is secure. Well, that was the old thinking. The new thinking is that security is a condition. It is it's a present tense condition that changes over time. And if you thought about security as something you bought once when you installed the system, that was the static. It didn't require real-time reporting. Now, if you think about mobility and the speed at which things change and move, you've got to have real-time in order to achieve any level of security. So this transformation into real-time reporting dashboards that take into account device location, device network connectivity, all sorts of things, it has to be real-time. Now, having said that, it's easy to say, it's really, really hard to do because of the explosion of the number of devices that are connected up to government networks, and also the diversity of the applications that are being built to improve the productivity of the average knowledge worker inside the government. It's a real challenge to get the security and the usability and the mobility all right. That contention, and we talk about this contention between mobility, security, usability, all that contention is really being worked out. And it's a balancing act because we could be very, very insecure, unsecure, and very, very useful, but that's not the proper balance either.
In the last month, we've seen all kinds of news about this topic you just touched on called the Internet of Things, IoT. And I was silly, and I talked about, you know, the Apple Watch and the $10,000 or $17,000 Apple Watch, which I think is absurd, ridiculous. But then it leads to this week's announcement of the smart shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people in the cybersecurity going, okay,
have we reached the silliness?
Is it kind of, well, we have to draw the line here and go, okay, now what's the reality on this? And so take it back to the silly setup. I walk in with a Surface. I walk in with a smartphone. It's one thing. Then I literally walk in with shoes that have, all of a sudden, it changes the game, doesn't it?
Well, the idea of Internet of Things, I think of them as just data producers or collectors, either way. And this idea of devices not being computers, but being small transmitters to being small collectors, that's really an interesting way to take advantage of this Internet that we've all built over the last 20 years or so. I can tell you right now, as one of the early adopters of a Nike device that was implanted in my shoe, it used to connect up into my iPod. And then the iPod, I'd have to connect up into my PC and upload my data. It was a great idea. It would keep track of my runs. It would keep track of my pace. It would keep track of my distance. It would keep track of what day I did it. Now, beyond that, it was pretty cumbersome to get that data off the chip in the heel of my shoe into my iPod and then into my PC and then into the website. And it was all proprietary. It was all connected up. Now, it was Nike and Apple, and it was a great idea. Now it's becoming much, much easier to get the data off of the sensor into the network, and the volume of data that is being collected is staggering.
And now we go back to, guess what, to managing these devices, managing the data, managing the mobile data, and there could be some security questions here that who ever dreamed 5 years ago of John Gary walking in and what do you got in their shoes? Oh, I've got location.
Yep.
Take the shoes off. What about, well, what's in your watch? It's a smartwatch. Well, what's in your, well, there's 20 things on my Surface.
And when we look at security, then all of a sudden you've got to have policies and procedures for the data that's collected. We run into, okay, the inadvertent collection of data and then the correlation of the data. Now we get into that master data management idea, the big data idea. The volume of data that's collected and can be quickly correlated really does lead to some privacy concerns. We were talking at the break about healthcare. Again, a lot of technology going into the healthcare arena, either in remote sensors or smart devices, smart collection of information at a hospital or at a clinic or even off-site. This idea of ubiquitous monitoring of patients is a tremendous reduction in expense for healthcare delivery. But at the same time, the balance of privacy and security and the correlation of that data that's being collected. We as data producers throughout our day don't often think about privacy and security, but we're going to have to get smarter about this as we move into this digitized, constantly monitored and measured world.
I'm writing an article now about the millennials. And I think there is a generational difference between what people are willing to accept or not. Now, I would be very reluctant to give anyone my Social Security number, but my guess is that someone under 27, 28 would almost do it, you know, their location, sure, Social Security number, sure. What are they in exchange for this? Some funny cat video? Now, I'm painting with broad strokes here,
right.
But just generally speaking, it's a generation issue where people are more willing to release that information of their, what if Google said, okay, if you wear these shoes and I know where your location is and you're my target persona, target audience, I'll give you X, Y, and Z. They may be more easy to do that, and Google's going to take and just harvest that. Google would be just throw parties over the information they get with that, wouldn't they?
So think about something that is becoming more common now through monitoring of smart devices that are in cars. Whether it's the car itself or it's a smartphone carried by the driver of the car, that provides data backup on traffic conditions.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
All of that stuff is very, very interesting. It would be very, very helpful to be able to track all that stuff. But then all of a sudden you realize that device, we know exactly where it was, when it was there, how fast it was traveling, what it was doing, and we know all of that. We could say, oh, but if the shock sensor in the phone detects a pothole, we'll send somebody out to go fix the pothole. Well, that's a wonderful thing, but what else would the data be used for?
Yeah, that's good.
We get into the idea of collecting data. We get into the idea of privacy. Then we get into the big data side of things rather than the mobility side of things.
Big data after the big break here. We'll talk about mobile device management and the offerings that Dell have to make life easier for my federal listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Paul Chrisman, Vice President of Public Sector at Dell Software. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Paul Chrisman, Vice President of Public Sector at Dell Software. And when you think of Dell, you normally don't think of offerings in the area of mobile device management, but they have a whole suite of products, Dell Mobile Workspace, and we haven't been pitching Dell much. We've been talking about problems that my listeners have with managing mobile devices and options they can consider, and one option they may want to consider is the offering that Dell has because they have some innovation in this area, and they certainly are familiar with device management. If there's anything you know about hardware from Dell, and so we've been talking about different things, odds and ends. And we talked about connect.gov and some of the options people have with that. And we had a kind of an interesting chat in the break here talking about, well, you know, this isn't the end of the game. This isn't the ninth inning for managing mobile devices, is it, Paul? Is this maybe spring training?
Yeah, this,
where are we anyway?
This isn't the beginning of the end. I don't even think it's the end of the beginning. I really do think this is the real onset of a transformative technology combining wireless, Wi-Fi, the expansion and explosion of broadband, the transformations in simple things like touch screens, which all of a sudden people now believe should be on everything. Touch screens, I have a touch screen in my car, I have a touch screen in my phone, I have a touch screen in my computer, I have a touch screen on everything. That sort of early adoption of some really transformative technologies is going to lead to, in the next 10 years, I think an explosion in portable computing devices. You're seeing different form factors. People are struggling with what the form factor needs to be, whether it's on your wrist or in front of your eyes or it's in your pocket or it's in your purse or it's in your car. The idea of putting technology to work in a connected sense is really, really at the onset.
Let's jump into my standard 10-question test that I ask everyone.
And I studied before.
Good. It's like studying for the urine test, isn't it? So you have to keep up with this. So people want to know, well, geez, he's got a lot, you know, access to a lot of hardware. What kind of stuff is he walking around with, and how nerdy is he? So I'm going to give you the 10-question test here.
Sure.
And let's see if you pass this test or not. First of all, we break into your house. How many old-school desktops do you see floating around there?
None.
Well,
no,
that's the right answer.
No desktops. I have enormous compute power, but none of it is stationary.
How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
Oh, for myself? None. Mm-hmm. For my family? I'm embarrassed to say. Yeah, too many.
Don't embarrass yourself.
So on that line, I had an interesting conversation with my son, who's 19, and my wife, who is of a certain age. He went with an Android device of a particular manufacturer, HTC, and then my wife chose the iPhone 6 Plus, and I think it speaks volumes on the generations on the size of screen, and both are very, very happy with their devices.
Desire for control, I would think.
For different
reasons.
Yep.
That's why we're going to ask you the question in a few moments. We'll ask you that question. What about Twitter feed? Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Paul E. Christman is my Twitter handle.
Now, do you have a blog?
I do not blog outside the company.
No problem. Well, this is the obvious question. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I've got an Android device here with me, but my house is split fairly evenly between iOS and Android.
Hmm. And what is the most popular app on that device in the last 30 days? We just talked about apps, didn't we?
So, I use Touchdown, which is an application on my Android phone, which sort of mimics the experience that I get with Outlook on my PC. I'm a Windows user on my PC. I'm very interested in looking at Outlook on Android, which Microsoft has released. That's probably the application that I go to first. We have an internal application for approving, creating expense reports, which in my line of work is very, very important. So that's probably the second most important app. The third one is my Starbucks store locator.
So let's get real here, okay?
Yeah, that's practical.
We break into your house. How many tablet devices do you see floating around? This is going to be a big number for you, for sure.
Okay. I'd have to count them up. So one of the things that's happening now, and it's actually very interesting, I have a device which is a Dell all-in-one, which is about a 21-inch slab. You could call it a tablet. You could call it an all-in-one PC. But I think the lines are blurring there. I've got a Dell Venue tablet, which is really, really hot. It's a new hardware release, a Dell Venue tablet. Mm-hmm. I've got an iPad. I've got the all-in-one.
So you got a bunch.
I've got a couple of Surface devices, Microsoft Surface devices, which my mm-hmm. kids use, which, are, again, it's blurring the line between a PC and a tablet. And we were talking before about the idea of usability. We're gravitating towards more of the Windows mobile devices as quasi-tablets, crossovers, rather than the pure iPad tablet.
And what was your most recent post in a social networking site?
I'm on LinkedIn all the time.
Okay.
Facebook for personal, but LinkedIn for work. I use LinkedIn all the time to connect to folks.
When was the last posting on LinkedIn, status update?
Oh, geez. Yesterday, day before.
Okay. Do you have a mobile fitness device on you? Not in your shoe, but
no,
on your person?
I had a Fitbit for a long time, and it was so depressing. It was like keeping a food diary.
It's so 2014, isn't it?
I know what I need to do. I just need to do it. My wife is a Fitbit addict. I don't know if you saw it. There was a Fitbit challenge that Michael Dell and Mark Benioff, the founder for Salesforce.com, just went into. It's a celebrity Fitbit challenge to see who can walk the most steps, I think, in a week or a month, and they just started that. And that was actually announced down at South by Southwest down in Austin.
Yeah, that sounds like an old man contest. But I'm not going to say anything at all, you know? Let's get in the real world here.
Yeah.
You know, let's say we can swim the English Channel. That's the test for me. Last question. The last book you read was electronic or paper?
Paper.
Paper. That's interesting. Well, your Nerdonomy scale is kind of all mixed here. You have all kinds of different categories here. We'll have to run it through my little computer in my basement and print something out in Green Bar and mail it off to you. We've talked about mobile devices. We've talked about you once had one in your shoe and a Fitbit's old fashioned. So I don't know what's going to happen to mobility in the future and what's going to happen to managing mobile devices. It's going to be so fascinating in the future. I have no idea. So when you walk into a federal agency, you're going to have to check in your watch, check in your shoes, check in your tablet, check in your smartphone, check in your glasses.
Exactly.
It took an hour just to walk in all the IP devices you have on you. Huh? So what's going to happen in the future of managing mobile devices?
Well, I think what's going to happen is people are going to stop focusing on the devices and they're going to start focusing on the data. And the data is what's going to really be the important part of all of these sensors, collectors or producers of data. I think one of the things you can see is that there's no lack of information or data. It's a question of correlating that data and making sense of it. So I think that the exciting form factor announcements you see from various manufacturers, Dell included. That's all interesting, but it's a question of what does it produce? What do you do with the information? How can you make that actionable? And how can you correlate the disparate data, especially data that goes into a cloud repository that was never intended to be correlated? That's, I think, where you get into some very interesting applications, public safety applications, human service applications, medical applications, and healthcare applications, and this idea of meaningful use within a lot of the Affordable Care Act, the meaningful use objectives and the collection of data and the correlation of data, I think it's really where we're going to get to some exciting stuff.
You know, I'll use a word that's popular with millennials. The word is creep you out. And sometimes it creeps me out, the amount of information they collect on me. However, like my next door neighbor, if there's a fire in my house, I pick up my phone and call it. You can creep me out all you want as long as the fire guys come out and put it out. I mean, all of a sudden, you drop the whole creepiness out and say, that's fine. I'd rather have my this is the dilemma that many of my listeners, you know, they work for federal government. They have important information that, by the way, can save lives. And also you have to ensure privacy. And where's the line?
And I think one of the things that people are going to have to get better at is understanding data privacy and understanding where their data is. We've talked a little bit about healthcare, but most people that I talk to, both in the business and also average consumers of healthcare, do not want to become the stewards of their healthcare data. They want a trusted third party to manage it. And the idea of knowing who that organization should be, that the security policies and procedures are in place to maintain appropriate use, but also to gain whatever value they can from the information. I don't think the average everyday consumer wants to become an IT data scientist and understand least privileged access and segregation of duties. They really don't want to go there, but they want to make sure that they're dealing with trusted organizations that collect and maintain this data.
And it just like with instead of emergency care workers, let's take it to the healthcare IT setting. You know, I break my foot to go to the hospital. Hey, whatever it takes to fix me up real quick, I'll, you know, whatever privacy implications I have, I don't care about it. But if you're sitting around the Starbucks, like we talked about earlier, I want my information private. Yeah, up until a certain point. So this is the razor's edge that we talked about initially, is that what is the balance between leveraging mobile and protecting information that my listeners are responsible for? It's been a good conversation. For more information, you go to software.dell.com. You have been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Paul Christman, Vice President of Public Sector at Dell Software. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.